Just hello, welcome. Yes, my name is Shandy Pecknin, and here I am back on Facebook Live. I think this is my second time on Facebook Live, and so if you see me a little bit of like nervous, that's the reason is because I am on Facebook Live. I've preached many times, and one of the things I want to encourage you today, I had a pretty good word for this time and this hour that we live in and how to be victorious in this hour. But one of the things I want to encourage you, even in the things that you're nervous about, the Lord is calling people of God to move into things that we may be nervous about. We may be I'm not sure if I should talk to that person or do this thing or do that thing. And yet, the Lord is with us and He's calling us out. And for you that are, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. There's books that are in people's hearts. There are conversations that you need to have. There are prayers that you get to pray. There are things that you get to step into now that is for this hour and this time. And so I want to encourage you, just like me, a little bit of like, oh, I'm in front of a camera and I'm not accustomed to it. I've been accustomed to preaching in a lot of places in front of quite big crowds, but here we are preaching again in a new way. And I wanted to tell you that this is part of what the Lord is doing for the body of Christ. He's pushing us out into uncomfortable places so that we will shine and we will grow and we will walk with Him in a new capacity. Sometimes I think of the picture of the bird and the baby bird getting pushed out of the nest. This is not that the Lord is pushing us out, but He is encouraging us to step out. He is encouraging us to step out of what we are used to. Quite a number part of the body of Christ has been in that place of me, like a baby bird would be. And Papa God is saying it's time to fly. It's time to get out and stretch your wings and apply what you've been taught, apply what you've been learning and growing in, and not always just needing someone to feed you and feed you and feed you. It's time to start feeding others. It's time to step into these. And that's one of the encouragements for this hour, is to not just stay with your comfort zone. It may be feeling like you need to stay in your comfort zone, but it's time to step out with the Lord and do things that you may not be accustomed to, or you may not be, your family might not be accustomed to or comfortable with. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy. I thank you for your presence here in this place and here over cyberspace. We thank you for impacting our lives, speaking to our hearts. Lord, wherever people are watching from, in their houses or cars or wherever else, I ask that you would just touch them right now. You teach, speak into their hearts, encourage them. Thanks, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. One other thing I wanted to say before I get into the meat of what I'm going to speak on is I want to also, there's some of you out there that need to, you may be struggling financially. And one of the things that I felt like the Lord wanted to encourage you this morning or whenever you're watching this is that there are some of you that need to give into things and need to give not just into a church or into this ministry or that ministry, but you need, for your finances to go forward, you need to give in this season so that you'll reap in the next. And so there'll be a release of grace. I was thinking about it today, this morning, how late March. I didn't know where finances were particularly going to come. I needed X, and I just really felt like I was supposed to give into a couple places and sow, not only into this house but into other places, and that's what I did. And within days, I had another client, and I had more finances, not just for to cover my bills, but also to give more and to have some investment stuff. And I went from not knowing how to pay my bills to all of my bills to actually having more to invest right now. So I want to encourage you that it's not just a time to conserve, like it is a time to find where you're going to give and sow and to resource and to watch the Lord. Not that you give to get, but you give to see God's money that He's given to you do what it's meant to do in something else, in some other place. And you get the benefit of seeing that happen, but you also get the benefit of seeing it happen in your life. So, thank you, Jesus. So 1 Samuel, I'm gonna jump into David and Goliath. And this morning, I'm gonna talk about how to be victorious in these times, and what to do in these times of turbulence, of these times of difficult decisions, financial problems, racial problems, economic problems, health problems. There's a lot coming against, could be coming against you right now, and it's really good to know what God is saying and how to facilitate joining with Him in this season. And I will say this, is I'm only going to share an aspect of what God is saying right now. If you want to know, my encouragement is if you want to know what God is saying, don't just stick from a Sunday morning. Listen to the Lord. Push into Him. Grow into His voice. Grow into what He's saying to you and what He wants to speak to you. If you don't know how, ask. Ask the Lord to help you grow in hearing His voice. And I hope that this message spurs you on in listening to His voice in a greater way, in a deeper way, and also spurs you on to listening to, my encouragement is, trusted prophetic voices, prophets and prophetess. Right now, it is really good to find ones that have a track record of being accurate, not just random people, but people that actually hear the Lord and what they say most of the time is from the heart of God and is accurate. Why I say most of the time? Because we're all humans, even prophets, and we'll miss it once in a while. But what you want to be looking for is, do they have His heart? Are they a lover of Jesus? And do they promote Jesus? And are they accurate most of the time? Because I don't want to listen to someone that is going to be steering me away from what God is saying, no matter who they are. But it's a really good time. So my encouragement, if you don't have this practice, A, go deep in listening to the voice of the Lord yourself, but B, is to listen to the prophets of what they're saying today. So not just listen to one, not just listen to myself, but listen to multiple, because it will help you get a bigger picture than just what I'm saying, what I feel like the Lord is saying right now. So we're going to jump into 1 Samuel 17, and this is a very famous story. It's a famous story. It's David and Goliath, and I'm going to give you a little backdrop. David is, in chapter 16, he's anointed as king. At great odds, he's anointed as king. The prophet Samuel comes onto the scene. He comes to his father Jesse, and he says, Samuel says, Jesse, God's told me that I'm to anoint one of your sons as the king. Bring him. So Jesse lines seven of his sons, lines them up, and one by one, God, his sons walk past Samuel, and one by one God says, nope, 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 nope. Not that one, not that one, not that one. And God makes this profound statement, which, you know, he's God. He does make profound statements all the time. Everything comes out of his mouth is actually creative. It actually, when he speaks, creativity happens. Worlds get created. I mean, his words are powerful and creative and deep. And he said this one thing. He said, Samuel, I don't look at a man's appearance, but I look at the heart. And so he goes past all these seven, and Samuel goes, is there anybody else? And Jesse goes, well, our youngest is out in the field watching the sheep. And he comes, and David gets anointed. And the next thing we find David doing is he's back in the pasture. I will tell you, in these times, it's important that we don't let offense get in our hearts. We can't let offense get in our hearts. I don't know if David even struggled with this, but I can say that I might struggle with, I'm anointed as king, okay, family, like, now that I'm anointed as king, now I do kingly stuff. Now my life went from watching sheep to doing kingly stuff, getting prepped for kingly stuff, reading books, or studying, or sword fighting, or whatever it might be, but I wouldn't be expecting my family to send me back to the pasture where I just came from after getting anointed as king. But there he was. You might not feel like you have a grandiose call to be king. You're like, I'm just doing the mundane things. I might be doing the, but I guarantee that God's called you, each one of you, to walk with Jesus. And the Bible says that in the New Testament that we'll even do greater things than Jesus did. It doesn't matter if you're someone that's digging ditches, cleaning toilets, or being the president. Your impact doesn't rely on what you do or what position you have. Listen to this. It relies on who you walk with. Your impact has nothing to do with what you do or what position you have. It's who you walk with. And if you are in Christ Jesus, you walk with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the most powerful, the God that created heavens and the earth. He kind of likes to do supernatural things because he's a supernatural God. So no matter if you go, I'm not anointed as king, or I'm not a prophet, or I'm not this, or I'm not a CEO, or I'm not whatever your grandiose thing is that you would say is the reason why you can't walk with God in your life, you can't see the supernatural show up in your life because you're not this or that or whatever, he's with you. He wants to do those things with you. It doesn't. He wants to give you strategies and wisdom and knowledge and understanding, even in your job, that helps you do things even well, even more, even better. And shine his light and shine his love. And why I say that is because one of the things that people I've struggled with is even if I have something that God has called me to do, like a direction in my life, I'm called to do this. Sometimes God's still calling me to do the mundane things. The things that I don't consider maybe as important as the seeing someone get saved or someone get healed or making money or doing this or doing that. He's called us to even do the mundane things, and in the mundane things, that's where we develop other skills and other things that He'll use and develop in us. David was out in the middle of the pasture, and he was developing his trust in God's bigness and His might and His power, and how God would use him to defeat the lion and the bear, and how he would develop a skill with the sling. This was not one of those like slingshots where you hold it with a stick and you pull it back. This David used a sling. It was a couple strings and a little pouch, and you put a rock in it and you twirl it really fast and you launch it. It was a very skilled weapon and a very effective weapon. And David would learn how to do that out there too. At least that's what, we don't see that being said, but we can assume that that's where he learned it, because he was out there for a lot of his life. So even when you know what God has called you to do, or you're going in a direction, don't forget that we get to have peace and contentment in the mundane, in the things that we're like, oh, this is just normal. No, the Lord is working us. He's growing us. He's developing things in our hearts to getting us prepared for those times where we're going to see victory. We're going to see breakthrough. We're going to see not just in our lives, but in others. He's setting us up. But we have to not let offense come into our hearts. Now the story goes on in chapter 17, where so you have this picture. David is going from the pasture to the palace. He's meeting with the king. He's meeting with King Saul, because Saul has had an evil spirit, and David is playing the harp to calm that spirit and to give Saul peace. So he's either not working with the king, learning from him, he's just playing so the king has some peace, or he's in the pasture. This doesn't seem like very kingly things. It seems very servant things. So when war happens, so the Philistines come, they're this big army. They meet on one side of this cliffside, and Israel rushes to another side, and there's a valley in between, and they're at an impasse. What I mean by an impasse is neither one wanted to go into the valley, neither army wanted to go into the valley and then come up, because that's a terrible strategy. Unless God gives you it, it's a terrible strategy to come up from the valley and try to attack an upper army. Why say unless God gives it to you? Because we have a story in the Bible with Jonathan and his armor bearer where they did just that. They attacked, they crawled up a hill and attacked an upper army and defeated them. But unless God tells you, it's not a good idea. And so the story goes on, where Goliath was Philistine's champion. I'm just setting the stage. Goliath was Philistine's champion. He was known for battle. He was known to defeat anyone he went against. And there was a custom back then where when two armies were facing against each other, they might decide to send their champions against each other and avoid the two armies coming in and avoid all of that slaughter, all of that battle. And so Goliath comes down and he says, hey, I'm paraphrasing, but he's saying, hey, Israel, send your champion, and whoever wins, wins the whole battle. And he started mocking God, he started mocking Israel, and he would do that day in, day out.
Excuse me.
So, You'd think David would be the David, his family. You'd think his family, when this war happened, they would go, aha, we have David anointed as king. No one really else knows this other than Samuel and his family. But his family, they should have known, I think they would have known, that where do kings go, where should they be during battle? They're not called to be back in the flock, they're called to be at the front lines. And yet, David gets left watching the sheep again. So he gets passed by, and the only time he is sent to go to the battle is by his dad to bring food for his brothers and to check what's going on and to come back and give a report. And I would tell you that during this time, there's a lot of opportunity to be offended, to get offense. I don't care if you're talking about political, if you're talking racial, if you're talking this or that, family issues, economic issues. There's a lot of opportunity to get offended, to allow offense in your heart, and we can't allow that to happen. If we do, we need to deal with it so it doesn't change our talk. And what I want to tell you is that the reason why we have the story of David and Goliath is one of the main reasons is David did not allow his talk to change and his eyes to move away from who God is. And he didn't come under the fear. I guarantee fear was in the land. Fear was not just at the battlefield. I guarantee it was back where David lived. There was fear in the land. Reminds you of these times. This time of, there's a lot of things that you could get under fear about. This president not getting elected, or this president getting elected, or this riots happening, or family issues, or financial issues. Fear, 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 fear. And we get to, the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. And what I remind people is that if you have fear in your heart in an area, it just means it's not, I need to push it out, it just means that in that area in your heart, in your life, means that you need more of God's love. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. So that means that if I have an area in my heart that is fearful, it means that part of my heart and my life or my mind doesn't have a full doses of His love for me. That's what it means. So what you do when you have fear is you say, Lord, would you bring your love into that area? Would you saturate that area? When you get offense, Lord, would you help me to forgive that person, that place, that thing, that group, so that your heart doesn't get turned, doesn't get shifted. So David comes, he comes to the battle zone. He comes to the battlefield just in time. He hears Goliath. Everyone's rushing to the edge of the cliffside. Hear what Goliath is saying. I don't know why they kept doing this. Like it'd been days and days and days and days and days. I think it was around 40 days by the time David came. And they did the same thing over and over and over again. It wasn't, I would think that they might get tired of rushing to, and I wonder what Goliath is going to say. Oh, he's going to mock us, and now we're going to run away. That's what they did over and over and over again. And David would experience this. He would get up there, and he heard Goliath mock God, and he said, anyone that would come take us on, take me on, and he went through the line, and then everyone ran away. All the men of Israel were scared of one man. One man. David, you know, the amazing thing is David wouldn't be, that story wouldn't be how it was unless his words differed, shifted, changed, kind of separated himself from others. He would come on the scene and he would just ask questions. His questions put in front of the king, which put him in front of Goliath. It wasn't him saying, let me take him on. Let me take Goliath on. I'll take him on. He just asked questions. And his words were so different. His attitude was so different that it set him apart and set him in front of a king. I want to propose to you is right now we need people of God that talk differently and don't talk under fear, don't talk under offense, don't talk because of I'm afraid of this or I'm offended by this or this news person or that news person like got me all riled up about this or that or the other or I'm a whatever issue it is. We need people of God that speak not out of offense, not out of reaction, but out of response to who God is. Okay, verse 24. 1 Samuel 17, verse 24. This is after Goliath has spoke. And it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Verse 25, so the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. So David just asked questions. Verse 26. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? That's what he asked. He wasn't saying, I'm going to do this. He just asked this question. Who's this guy that's mocking God? Who would dare to defy the armies of the living God? Who would do it? And his older brothers came and were like, David, how arrogantly. They tried to knock him down. And when you speak difference than the culture that you're in, when you speak his words and it's different than the culture that you're in, you may have even family members that are trying to knock you down, trying to say who you are not, even though you are who you are. It may come as close as that. How dare you talk about that? You can't do that. You can't speak that. You can't post that. Because you're just our little brother, our little sister. You can't do that. You're just from the hood, or you're just from the city, or you're just from the countryside. I don't care what it is. People will try to crush you down because you are speaking words that are outside of fear. When people are under fear, they will try to get you under fear. They will try to put words on you and try to accuse you because they're afraid, not because you're afraid. Now, if you have fear, again, deal with it. Don't be like, oh, they're just coming against me because they're afraid. Don't. No, no, no. I'm just telling you that people will do that when you function outside of a place of fear, especially in these days. They'll try to accuse you of things. They'll try to put you in boxes. But when it's God's time for you to speak or to act or to show up or to move, David didn't do this. He was just asking questions. And it differed him. You don't have to be attacking. You don't have to be forceful. When it's the Lord showing up and having His words come through you. But in order for that to happen, I have to watch over my heart. I have to guard my heart. So that when opportunities come through actions or through words, that I'm not my... focus is not on the war, it's on the God over everything. And David would, he would go meet with Saul. Saul would try to put his armor on him. You know the story. David would then get his rocks and he would take it down to Goliath into this valley. And when we're walking with God, and I want to pause here and say, you know, whatever giant is in your land, what do I mean by giants? What do I mean by a giant in our land? In our place, it's whatever is intimidating God, whatever is mocking God, whatever is in your life, whatever is mocking the way God wants you to walk in. It may not be a person, it may be a spirit, it may be different things. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, so don't think we're going to, you know, start to fight and bring out swords. We get to bring His love and His word and His truth. And so whatever giant is in your land, maybe it's the place in your workplace or your family that you're afraid of talking to this person or this play or this posting something online or whatever it may be. Maybe it's there's a conflict going on and there's things that are intimidating you that are trying to keep you at bay from doing what God's called you to do. In order to walk in that, we have to deal with we get to allow the Lord to deal with our heart of offense from being under fear right now, so that we speak out of love, not reaction. We speak out of response to God, not out of response to man. So David would go and he would bring a sling to Goliath. And I want to tell you that David pretty much brought a gun to a sword fight. There are scientists that have said that they've researched and they've figured out, some scientists have researched and figured out that the momentum of what very likely what came out of David's sling was the momentum of and speed of a 357 caliber gun going off. That's how much force and how much speed was coming out of his sling. Everybody else, including Saul, thought we have to meet Goliath on his terms. If you're under fear, if you have offense in your heart, you will think you have to meet that Goliath in your life on their terms, not on God's. But God will have you bring a gun to a sword fight. He will give you a strategy that on the enemy's terms, it will on the going at it at the enemy's terms, like Goliath. If David had taken a sword to Goliath, unless God had done did a miraculous thing, David would have lost every time. Not 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10. But God goes, I'm going to give you, use a different strategy and bring you onto the field of battle. And I'm going to use what I developed in the secret place. I'm going to use what I developed in the pasture, in the mundane things. And I'm going to develop that and use that to take out the army that's against you, the enemy that's against you, the thing that's mocking me and stopping you from doing what I've called you to do. And we know that David would, you know, do this thing and launch the rock, and I know the stone, and it would hit the Goliath right in the forehead, and he would go down. And it was by God's grace, and it was God's power, but God did use multiple facets to bring David to that moment. Multiple things that God brought David, and David could have different eyes to see and different ears, because he kept above offense and fear. And hurt. And he kept his eyes on how big God was and is. If Goliath had, I want to propose, if Goliath had just said, mocked the army of Israel, if he didn't mock God, David might have not been, who might have been gone home and told Jesse, hey, there's this guy, he's mocking Israel and every day, and someone's going to have to defeat him. But he mocked God. And that story could have changed also if David had been under offense, under fear. He might have been with everybody else, running away, hiding. And then he would have gone home, back to Jesse, and said, hey, this is what the news is. And that story might have still been in the Bible of what a good son looks like. Obeying his father. He went, he delivered his food, he got the report, and he went back and told his father. You know, we can make plans in our life. We can be as we go, and we make plans, and we go to the battlefield. But when God says, I'm going to shift it, we get to shift with what God is doing. Now, today, I want to encourage you in this hour, David, you know, David was slinger. He was a shepherd. He was anointed as king. I want to tell you that you don't have to fix the world. I want to tell you this. You don't have to fix the world. You don't have to, you don't have to be the answer to the world. Say it again. You don't have to be the answer to the world. There's so much pressure to have answers for everything right now. And I want to tell you that God has a unique calling on your life. And He has not called you to try to fix everything. He's called you to walk with Him and talk with Him and speak what He's speaking and do what He's doing in your life, not trying to, you know, rally the troops. David didn't go around and try to get the whole army to stop being afraid. He didn't go around and say, hey, everybody, you know, the God of the universe is big and you need to stop being afraid. And who wants to take on Goliath? Because Let me tell you some stories. David stayed in his lane, I would say. In his lane. He stayed in what God's called him to do. He didn't move from that. And I want to encourage you that God has a unique calling on your life. You don't have to try to hit the masses. You get to accomplish what God's called you to do. And that ripple effects affect a lot of things. I can shift or change the world with God by digging a ditch in the middle of the desert. I can have just as much effect because it doesn't matter. Again, I will say this. It doesn't matter what I do or who I, what position. It matters who I walk with. And the impact of that is dramatic. And it doesn't look, it doesn't have to have a certain look or a certain way. Or it doesn't have to be that you now have helped the whole country or this or help the whole world, or you said the right thing and on social media, or you preached the right thing and it had ripple effects, and now you've got social media, it went viral. Your video went viral, your statement went viral. The spirit realm, I tell you this, videos and social media, things that go viral is only a taste. You know how that can go around the world and all of that? It's only a taste of how much things affect in the spirit realm. Your impact isn't... social media is such a... I mean, it is a vehicle God uses, but it's such a... It's like a little taste of what kind of impact I could have if I just join, like, in prayer or this or that. And it doesn't... It has so much more oomph when I join with the Lord in whatever it is, and it goes viral, it impacts the whole world, it impacts lives. It's like people sharing it all over the place, and it just goes dun 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 dun. And people may not even see it. You may be a prayer warrior in your house. You may be a mom or a dad. You may be this or that. You may be a plumber, but your impact isn't based upon social media. Isn't based upon what you say or do. It's based upon who you walk with. Huh. So today, just wrapping it up, I want you to really ask the Lord, Is there a giant in my land? Or are there giants in my land? Are there things that are mocking me, or stopping me from doing what God has called me to do in my workplace, in my family, in my job, in my country, in my city, in my life? Maybe you are called to be an evangelist and you are afraid of speaking out right now. You're called to be on the corner preaching the gospel, and you're afraid to even talk to your family. The Lord wants to help you deal with that. Shove it out with His love. Not guilt you into doing obedience, but love you into life. God doesn't guilt us into obedience. He loves us into life. And then what can you do? How can you ask the Lord to help you with any offense or any fear? If there are things that you're listening to or people that you're around that is keeping you all riled up or not focusing on the Lord, like, then you have a choice to, especially on social media or on news, you have a choice to stop listening to that stuff. Stop reading it. It's more important that you keep your heart fixed on the Lord than it is you knowing exactly what's going on in the news. I'm not saying news is bad. I'm not saying being informed is bad. I'm just saying that we get to put it in perspective, put it in the right perspective so that we keep our hearts not under fear, not under offense. So that we, as like David, don't miss opportunities to release this kingdom, to see freedom, to see victory in our lives, in people around us, because we are like the mass. We're under fear. We're under reaction. We have offense. The Philistines offended us. They were mad. They killed one of my brothers, or they did this or did that. I don't care what offense, how justified it is. If you allow it in your heart, it will shift your words and keep you away from seeing victory in your life completely. And the Bible says, know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's not try to do the truth, try to display the truth. It's know the truth and the truth will set you free. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to see victory in this time, encouraging us even more, reminding us to not let, in other parts of the Bible, not let foxes get amongst our vineyard. That we don't let things that the enemy would want to do to destroy what the fruit that's in our lives and that's meant to come out of our lives. That we allow you to love these things out. So that we stand, we get to stand even more and speak your word and see actions happen that sets us apart and releases life, and releases truth, and releases grace. I don't care on whatever front that looks like, whatever role that looks like. Lord, I ask that you would just help us. Help me. In this time of such temptation to have all these things else dictate our words and our actions and our heart, would you help us to surrender and give it to you? So you're bigger, you're stronger. You know what our situations need. You know how I get to be a part of what you're doing. Would you show us and grow us? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Not yet. I just wanted to. When I was praying, I really felt like there was somebody with. If it may be in here, this room, but it may be on social media. I felt like someone had a like pain in your. It's your right side of your head, right up here on your scalp. It might be like you get headaches there all the time, or you get like there might be a potential tumor or something that is right there that always hurts or it tingles a lot, or especially if you touch it, it hurts. So if that's you, I just pray. We just pray in Jesus' name, healing to your scalp, to your pain to go in Jesus' name, whatever the cause is. To go in Jesus' name. I also felt like there's someone here with, you may be on cyberspace, you may be here. If you're here, please let me know. There's someone here with wrist pain, like right pain in your wrist. And so If that's you, the Lord wants to heal you today. So we just pray healing in Jesus' name to your right wrist. Be healed in Jesus' name. We speak to your fingers, like I felt pain into my fingers. And so, Lord, we ask that the pain in the fingers go in Jesus' name. Arthritis to be gone in Jesus' name. Oh. Walter, there's a Walter here. Hey, Walter, I really felt like the Lord gave me a word while I was sitting there for you. I really felt like, just really short, but it was that God, you're going to find that God is opening people's hearts. I heard open doors, and I said, God, what does that mean? And he said, I'm opening people's hearts around Walter, and you're going to be able to see, be able to speak into people's hearts like you've never been able to. It's been like this hard thing, and the Lord's about to open that hardness and really be able to speak his love and his truth and see freedom come, because I just saw this love in you to see people get free. It's like this injustice thing in you that rises up, and you want to see people get into truth. And sometimes that gets you into trouble, but I really saw the Lord softening people's hearts and working on your tongue to be like, and he has been working on your tongue so it hits the target and hits it well and hits it with love and compassion and truth, and brings it. It's like that love, compassion, truth bomb that it was like an arrow that went into people's hearts and exploded. And I just saw you, the Lord, over and over again. I really feel like you're going to have conversation after conversation of telling people about Jesus coming, like gospel, like people coming to know the Lord. I think of a friend of mine that would have people come up to him all the time and ask him about Jesus. How can I get saved? And I feel like you're coming into that a similar season like that in an increased way. So bless you on that. And Barbara, one of the things you just shared a little bit about how you were, and I will tell you on social media, if this really hits you and you're feeling that word is for me, well, grab hold of it. Don't like go, oh, it's for me because it sounds good. No, if it like a check in your spirit, it's like, oh, that's God speaking to me too. Please take it. Don't just think it's just for the people here. Barbara, I really saw you're going to be surprised. I saw growth happening. And I really feel like the Lord is doing a lot more in your heart than you know. And that you're going to actually come out of this season surprised because of what God's done in your heart. And the growth and the acceleration, that you're going to come out of this season in an area of acceleration and an area of strength that you didn't even know that was happening. And he's like, I just really felt the Lord goes, I can't wait to you to experience this, see what I've been doing in the heart as you've been allowing me to work. Even the things that you don't even sense or feel, he's been working underneath. And it's like roots that are going down deep and getting strong. It's because of what's coming, going to come out. And you're going to see there's been heart things that he's... that's been touched. And you shared that it's been a rough season, but yet the Lord is bringing healing. He's going to bring deliverance to different things, and even family members. I saw like people that felt like family members. I saw freedom coming to them, and like go from night to day. It feels like they're going to go from night to day, from a place of very held down and kind of, I felt even persecution against you, like people coming against you in your family and friends, and you're going to find that shift from night to day. Praise the Lord. And then there's, I felt like there's Julie that's watching, and I really felt like there was... Julie that's watching, and if that's you, I felt like there's a learning curve coming for you. And the learning curve is good. I saw you getting into a car, and it was a race car, and the Lord was going to teach you how to drive at a faster pace. There's some things in your life and things that are going on that you stepped into that He's saying that I'm going to teach you how to do it a lot faster and maneuver things in ways that you've never known how to do before. It's going to be a learning curve. It may not be totally easy at first, but you're going to get the hang of it. And I saw you sitting on God's lap in the driver's seat, driving, and Him teaching you how to control this race car that in a NASCAR, cars tend to drift the whole time. They're almost always on this movement where any little slight bump and they're going to go twisting and going to go in a crash. And it takes a very skilled person to learn how to drive in that place of always on the edge of crashing, drifting. And it's just all this movement. And I felt like you're going to learn a whole lot. God's going to teach you how to drift and how to be at the kind of cutting edge and be at the edge of things and not crash, but to be able to drive really fast and accelerate really fast and keep that pace until it's time to rest. And then I felt like there's somebody with right knee pain on the back of your knee. Is that someone here? Back of your right knee? Anybody? Right knee? Okay. So, Jesus, we just speak healing to this person with right knee pain in the back of their knee in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I bless you, and have a great Father's Day, and walk in His peace, His love, and His joy for you. Amen.